from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspic. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspic, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On the show, we provide daily episodes, Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. To get this show every day, you need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. You can find us on the brand new podcast app Himalaya or Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. When you're driving to work, from work, or around town, all you have to do is tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Giants Baseball and we'll be right there with you for the drive. If your company wants to reach an upscale male audience, then your company's ad should be running right here on this podcast. To get your company connected with this audience, email locked@lockedonpodcasts.com to get more details about increasing your business. Coming up on today's show, we're going to run through the three games over the weekend between the Giants and the Brewers, the Giants winning two out of three, staying hot out of the All-Star break. We'll talk about some of the key points from the games, trade notes, and rumors. There's a Will Smith rumor that just came out this morning. Giants playing two games today against the Rockies in Colorado, a doubleheader, a makeup game from a game that was rained out earlier in the season. So a lot to cover on the show today, so we'll just jump right into it. The two wins and one loss, the Giants improved to 43-49. They're 17.5 games out of the West, but just 4.5 back in the wild card. Their run differential improved to -63. That's come a long way from where it was not too long ago. Yet, it's still the second worst run differential in the National League, and the Giants still have the third worst record in the National League. They're actually tied for third worst. Since June 1st now, they're 21-15 with a +26 run differential. So they're playing quite well. It doesn't look like some sort of totally fluky thing. That being said, I still certainly don't consider them contenders this year, and I don't think they should be not selling some of their short-term assets just to try to make a run at the postseason in 2019. I think that would be crazy. But I also think Farhan Zaidi is going to make the right decision, and he's not going to do something boneheaded like sell the farm for a rental for 2019. That's just not going to happen. But getting into the games themselves, on Friday, the Giants erupted and won the game 10-7. They hit 5 home runs in this game. Worth noting that Austin Slater was in right field again with a righty on the mound, not Mike Yastrzemski. So that was kind of a platoon at first, but Mike Yastrzemski has really struggled over the last month or so. And Austin Slater has been amazing ever since getting called up, in a tiny sample, of course. But the quality of the at-bats have been really good. Makes a lot of contact, and the contact has been phenomenal. So, including Friday and prior to Friday, that was 3 of 4 games against righties that Austin Slater and not Mike Yastrzemski was in the lineup. Dickerson was in left on Friday, but he had to leave the game with back spasms and hasn't played since. So that's definitely something to be a little concerned about. He missed all of one of the last 2 years with a back injury that required surgery. Sean Anderson pitched much better than his final line would indicate. He struck out Christian Yelich 3 times. Talk about unpredictable baseball. He went 5 innings, but did give up a couple of base runners to lead off the 6th. Third time through the order, what else is new? This has been a recurring theme for him and for Bochy, letting, you know, mid to back end rotation starters go a little longer than maybe they should, because they can be cruising until they're not. And third time through the order, there's all kinds of evidence that trouble starts to happen at that point. And the point is, like, you can avoid it instead of waiting until it happens. You can preemptively prevent it from happening. But no, 2 guys get on base to lead off the 6th against Anderson, a walk and a double, and they both score. So Anderson ends up giving up 4 earned runs, even though he had thrown, you know, 5 innings, 2 runs, and could have been his final line. But yeah, it was a strong outing. He got 8 strikeouts in 5 innings, so that was good to see, because his strikeout rate has been very low on the season. But he's just continued to look like a league average starter, which is a nice development for the Giants. Austin Slater hit an opposite field home run that tied the game at 2. Evan Longoria hit a 2-run homer off Corbin Burns that made it 4-2. Tyler Austin in the eighth inning hit a pinch hit opposite field bomb off of Josh Hader on the first pitch that Hader threw in the game. So for my money, Hader is very easily could be considered the best reliever in the National League. And so that was extremely impressive. And the fact that the Giants have a Tyler Austin to pull off the bench against a Josh Hader is a huge benefit to them. And it's a big reason why they've been doing better lately. They're consistently gaining advantages in those types of situations where they have guys on the bench who can be successful. They put them in positions to be successful because they have the personnel to do it. Austin is a total threat against a lefty, and if anybody had a chance to hit a homer there on the Giants team, it would probably be him. And he did, and it tied the game. And then in the top of the ninth, with the game tied 5-5 and two outs, Brandon Crawford then hit a home run off of Josh Hader, which is almost more impressive because it's lefty on lefty. Crawford has definitely been better lately. Will Smith blew his first save of the season in the bottom of the ninth. Christian Yelich hit a leadoff triple, hard to come back from that, and the Brewers ended up tying the game. But then in the top of the 10th, Buster Posey hit a grand slam. The Giants had a nice rally, bases loaded, no outs. And then Posey, I think on the first pitch he saw from Matt Albers, hit a grand slam off the scoreboard in center field. So Melanson closed it out in the bottom of the 10th, gave up a run, but the Giants won 10-7. Saturday was a Madison Bumgarner start, pitched extremely well in this game. Five innings, six strikeouts, one walk, no earned runs, one run, seven hits allowed, and no homers. So overall on the season, and this is like Madison Bumgarner trade stock watch, he's got a 3.86 ERA, a 3.80 fielding independent pitching, 3.96 expected fielding independent pitching. All three of those numbers are right around 10% above average. So that's good. And at about this point, I mean, there's not a lot of starts that he has left before the trading deadline is here and gone. So his trade value is pretty much established right now, assuming he can stay healthy. And it's solid. I mean, he's just looking like solidly above average, not spectacular, but a little bit above average. And there are encouraging signs as well. The strikeout rate is back up. And by back up, I mean versus especially last year. Last year, it was down below 20%. And this year, it's right at 25%. Walk rate is really good, 5%. And just looking like a useful pitcher down the stretch for any kind of contender hoping to solidify their rotation. And then, of course, there's the postseason reputation and the, you know, buying into what kind of mentality he might bring to a postseason team. So it's good to see that he rebounded, that he's doing better after he had a really rough stretch about a month ago, but definitely looking like the Giants' best starter and did well against the Brewers on Saturday. Giants made a great defensive play, cutting down a runner at home plate on a ball in the gap. Pilar to Crawford to Posey. Posey dug it out of the dirt with a tough hop and put the tag on the runner, and it kept the Giants with a 1-0 lead. Just another example of platoons and their benefit. In the top of the seventh, with two outs and nobody on, Crawford hit an infield single, and then Craig Counsell, the manager of the Brewers, went to get a lefty for Joe Panik, and the Giants pinch hit with Solano. So this is the example of what makes them better now versus where they've been the last few years. They have a guy that can fill that role, and then Bochy's willing to do it as well, where you'd rather have the righty Solano against the lefty Alex Claudio than Panik against Claudio, for sure. And what does Solano do? He hits a single. And then the pitcher spot is up next. And then Bochy elects to go to Austin Slater, another righty against the lefty Claudio. And then Slater hits an RBI double into left center that gives the Giants a 2-1 lead. So this is where they've had a breakthrough. And these aren't like the greatest players on earth, and they definitely could afford to upgrade in some areas. But the process is just so much better. And if they can continue to have this process, which they will, and the players just keep getting better and better, then they're going to be in good shape. But in the bottom of the eighth, Sam Dyson melted down, possibly, you know, for one of the first times all season, gave up three straight doubles and then a single, and the Brewers took the lead. It just wasn't Dyson's night. In the top of the ninth, the Giants tied the game 4-4, being down two runs entering the inning. Crawford had a leadoff walk, Solano struck out, and then Slater had a long at-bat and finally had a single down the right field line. Yelich made a great play to prevent it from being a double. And then Vogt pinch hitting, another example of getting a nice matchup against a right-handed pitcher. And it's great to have a good hitter as your backup catcher and someone who can hit righties as opposed to like Hundley, who is only good against lefties, which is less valuable. and Vogt hits a line drive, a soft liner into left field, just a little blooper basically, that fell in. Lorenzo Cain overran the ball and two runs scored, and the Giants tied the game 4-4. But then Maranta struggled in the ninth and ended up giving up a game-winning hit to Ben Gamel, and the Giants lost. But still, just a valiant effort by the offense and a great outing for Bumgarner. So a lot of positives to take from that game. Coming up in the next half of the show, we're going to talk about Sunday's outing. Tyler Beede, another really good start for him. Evan Longoria dealing with an injury. We'll talk about that. And then we'll talk about a trade rumor that came out this morning involving the Brewers and the Giants. Okay, so as promised, we'll just briefly run through Sunday's game, talk about Evan Longoria's injury and some trade rumors for the Giants. So Tyler Beede pitched really well yesterday on Sunday. 6 2/3, 7 strikeouts, no walks. That's the significant number. And 3 earned runs, 7 hits, 1 home run. But the second consecutive outing for Beede not allowing a walk. So that, if he can keep that up, then you've suddenly got something really intriguing on your hands. And we saw it yesterday. When he's not walking people, he can be overpowering at times. He also had a couple of hits in this game. Donovan Solano just continued to play well, started at second base, even though there was a righty on the mound, and had 2 hits, including a double. Brandon Belt homered. Stephen Vogt hit a big double and drew a walk. Belt also drew a walk. Crawford drew 2 walks and had a double. Mike Yastrzemski continued to struggle, started in right field, and went 0-5. Austin Slater was sick, so he didn't start the game, but he did come in when Evan Longoria had to come out mid-game with plantar fasciitis. So Longoria had x-rays on his foot, which were negative, but it's an injury he said he's been dealing with since last year, so something we'll continue to monitor and provide updates as we have them. The Giants scored 6 runs in the 7th inning, blew the game open, and ended up winning 8-3. So an eventful weekend for the Giants, another series win against a quality team in the Brewers. And speaking of the Brewers, there, of course, was a trade rumor this morning involving these two teams in a potential trade. The rumor was that the Brewers are reportedly targeting Will Smith as a desired piece for them to add prior to the deadline. Their bullpen, the Giants got to their bullpen quite a bit in this series. Corbin Burns, they got him twice. Matt Albers, they got him twice. The Brewers do not get a lot of length out of their starting pitching. That's kind of by design. But they certainly could use some help in the bullpen. And Will Smith is a former Brewer. The Giants acquired him from the Brewers back in 2016. It has just come to my attention, by the way, that Evan Longoria was placed on the injured list with the plantar fasciitis, 10-day injured list. They recalled Ray Black, who was sent down to bring up Tyler Beede. And then Alex Dickerson was added to the lineup for game one of this doubleheader today. He's going to play left field with Yastrzemski moving over to right and Austin Slater sitting on the bench. Interesting. So that's a blow to the Giants. I mean, Longoria was playing very well, hitting lots of homers. Hopefully this doesn't keep him out for too long, especially, you know, if the Giants end up needing or wanting to trade Sandoval, do they have someone who can even play third base if Longoria is down? Slater, I think, has played some third. But anyway, getting back to this Will Smith rumor, legitimate sources saying that the Brewers are targeting Smith. They added the caveat that nothing is imminent, but it does sound like there's very serious discussions going on between the Giants and the Brewers involving Will Smith, and that the Giants and Brewers had been scouting each other heavily the last week or so. And it also was reported that Mauricio Dubon has emerged as a target by the Giants, Dubon being in the Brewers system. He's a shortstop slash second baseman. He's a middle infielder with a, you know, average glove, and some scouts see him as like a super utility type of guy. He's got a good hit tool, but middling power, and the defense isn't spectacular either. So not the most exciting prospect in the world, but apparently someone the Giants have some interest in. He probably should be expendable to the Brewers considering they have Keston Hira, who looks like the real deal and will be at second base probably for the long term. And they also have Orlando Arcia at shortstop, so there's really no room for Dubon. So to me, probably not a headliner here, but a second piece, maybe Corbin Burns as a guy I think makes a lot of sense for the Giants. Really struggling with the Brewers, but has excellent stuff, and a team like the Giants can afford to be patient with him. Had a really nice year last year, but just total collapse this year. But if you look through all the mess and the ugliness of the runs and all that, the expected numbers based on the peripherals are actually pretty good. So maybe a little Corbin Burns Dubon package as a starting point potentially could be interesting for both sides. Anyway, want to get this podcast posted as soon as possible because the Giants are taking on the Colorado Rockies at 11 o'clock-ish Pacific time. Second game, I think, is at like 5:40. Jeff Samardzija on the mound today for the Giants. We will be back tomorrow to talk about both of these games, talk about any new rumors that might come up, any developments from these games that have trade implications. Remember, to get the show every day, you need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. You can find us on the brand new podcast app Himalaya or Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Once again, my name is Ben Caspick. You can follow me on Twitter at @Cove_cast. If you like this show, please consider rating it, leaving a review, and telling your friends and family to check us out. I cannot wait to be with you again tomorrow, and until then, we'll see you next time.